Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
Denver Sports Station, 1043 The Fan presents Stokely and Zach.
Stoke and Zach. I am Chad Brown. He is Brandon Stokely. He is not Zach Bolly. So my bad earlier screwing that one up. I'm not Zach Bolly.
I've been called worse.
You sure?
Yeah, I know. That's pretty low, but I have been called worse.
Do you ever get mistaken for any of your teammates along the way? Do people throw that one out there, too?
Oh, yeah. I've been mistaken for many different people, you know, but mostly like kickers. You know? Hey, you know, Matt, you Matt Prater? Like, are you kidding me right now? Like, Prater's like 5'6". 220. I mean, come on. I mean, like, seriously.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, I mean, that's all, you know, people mistake me for the kicker or the punter, usually, is kind of how I get mistaken. How about you?
Oh, if you are a light-skinned, curly-headed athlete, I was in Mexico with the family a few years back. And for the whole week, I was Blake Griffin.
Oh, yeah.
I was Blake Griffin.
Oh, I see a resemblance now that you say it a little bit. I can see a little bit of a resemblance.
Yeah, he's a little bit more of a, like a redhead than I am.
Right.
So people can tell he's got a little bit more freckles and all that. But basically, you know, big, athletic, light-skinned guy with curly hair. Oh, certainly. So I get that. I get the Hall of Fame weekend. I ran into Andre Reed. So I've gotten Andre Reed, and Andre Reed's gotten Chad Brown.
Okay.
We both, Andre Reed and I, have gotten Rod Woodson. Rod Woodson. And then this is only I get this one, Christian Fourier.
Christian Fourier, the tight end.
The tight end.
Because was he a CU guy?
He was a CU guy, and he was a Patriot.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, so I've gotten all those guys.
Rod Woodson. All right.
Yeah.
That was, you know, I was teammates with Rod for a couple years.
Yeah.
And so I got to see him up close and just what made him so great.
Really
impressive. So he's, you know, anytime a guy can go from, you know, being a Hall of Fame cornerback to playing safety and do what he did, I mean, just an all timer.
Yeah, Rod's definitely one of the best. And, you know, I give Greg Lloyd and Kevin Green a lot of credit about, you know, my career and kind of setting me off on the right path. But I can't, you know, dismiss Rod's influence as well. The work ethic, you know, just seeing a guy like of that stature put that kind of work in was hugely influential for me early in my career. Rod Woodson didn't play in a lot of preseason games. Teddy Bridgewater just named quarterback for the Denver Broncos, starting quarterback, will be playing in a preseason game this weekend. Yeah. I think I know how you're going to answer, but the floor is yours.
Well, yeah, wasn't sure. Like, hey, is Teddy going to play this week or not? And I think, you know, yesterday I was under the assumption, I don't know why, I think a few people mentioned it just around here, that, oh, no, Teddy's probably not going to play. It's probably just be Drew Locke and Rippon, probably won't play many of the starters now, which I was like, all right, cool. And now hearing that they will play, and Vic said, you know, a few series, a couple series. All right. Look, you got another week off before you start getting ready for the Giants. I guess now that you know Teddy's the guy, maybe you want to knock some rust off if you're Vic and get those guys going. I've kind of seen enough of Teddy and the first team offense, to be honest with you. I don't really need to see him out there. If I did, maybe it'd just be for one series, and hopefully we had a, you know, 6, 7, 8 play drive and call it good. Who are the Rams playing anyway? Right. So, like, what am I going to, I'm not going to feel, you know, better about my, I think I feel great about myself after my two performances I just had. Right. I think my guys around me offensively look at me and feel great about what I can provide because I've just knocked it out of the park in two preseason games. So I don't really need to go out there and play anymore. And I'm playing against, you know, backups. So I think all you can do is really hurt yourself in this situation. So, look, I mean, I wouldn't play him. You know, honestly, I wouldn't play any of those guys. I'm tapped out, Chad. I'm tapping out of preseason football right now. Let's get ready. We've been fortunate. We're pretty healthy. Let's not, tempt fate here.
So it becomes a question, what is the point of this? Do you want to get a start on the Giants and start tailoring this offense to Teddy Bridgewater? Well, on one hand, that seems smart, but on the other hand, why tip your hand about how this offense is going to be made for Teddy Bridgewater? Why show the Giants anything? That's one point. Second point is obviously the injury risk is out there, and you're not going to put Teddy out there with the third offensive line. So now the first guys have got to go, and now all those young receivers have got to go. So, again, now it's more than just Teddy at risk. Now there's multiple guys at risk. And then the third one is just the optics of it. What if Teddy has an awful performance and Drew lights it up? Now you're forced to deal with all of that again.
Right.
You just put that to bed. You just got the team to rally around the starter. You just had all these conversations. You just set the table for you to move forward to the Giants. Now you got to take a step back and have this conversation about all this crap again.
Yeah, I like that, Chad. Teddy can't do much better than what he has already done. And you feel good about that. Your team feels good about that. But what happens if he doesn't perform well, right? And Drew knocks it out of the park, and then you're going to have all these people saying, oh, man, maybe they called this too early. Wow. You know, did they make a mistake here? And I think you try to avoid that if at all possible. I get it. Like, coaches, you know, they're not really concerned about that. You know, that's not at the top of the reasons why you play or don't play. They got their head in the sand. They're looking, you know, week by week, and Vic knows he's got to win games regardless of who the quarterback is or what the situation is. But you just try to avoid those things. And I think you want to carry momentum into the season. And you have, I mean, you can't get any more momentum than what Teddy Bridgewater has had in two preseason games. You just can't. He has been just as good as you can be. So I would just leave it at that. And, like, let's just work on us. Let's just work on the Giants. Let's get ready to go. We're playing nobodies anyway. And if we don't do well against, you know, guys that might not be making the team, that's going to take us a step back. And maybe we don't have the same confidence that we had, you know, 3 or 4 days ago. So I would just leave it. And, you know, injuries come up. Confidence and, you know, how you play, all that stuff, I think, factors in. And I would say, look, tap out. Let's just be done with preseason. Let's get ready to go for the stinking Giants when it really matters.
Yeah, I didn't necessarily think about the momentum part of that, but that, yes, the offense, the feeling, things are riding high with Teddy, and it's difficult to imagine that things can continue to go that way. The risk-reward ratio is a little bit off for me, because if somehow you don't meet the standard that you played with against the Seahawks, now you've lost some momentum. And so the risk reward of playing Teddy is already a little off for me because of the injury potential. Already off because, you know, you could be tipping your hand to the Giants. But your point about the momentum may be the biggest thing of all. You could derail where this thing is going, and you could create some doubt within that locker room. You can create some doubt within some of those young players in the offense. And I think you've done such a good job with this. This may be potentially the worst move of this entire preseason by the coaching staff, by having Teddy play, because the risk-reward ratio is all out of whack for me. This seems to be far more risk than any possible upside or reward.
Yeah, I'm going to be holding my breath, you know, watching this thing, like, ooh, biting my nails. Like, goodness, I hope nobody gets hurt on top of it. And it's football. Look, I get it. It's football. You got to get ready to play. But I think you kind of pick your poison in this situation, right? You know, guys have played. Broncos have been fortunate. You just can't have a setback by losing a guy or two. And I look at Teddy, the momentum that he's built up. And like I said, I'm going to be really nervous watching for this offense and hoping for Teddy and the rest of these guys that not only, you know, do they all stay healthy, but that they do well, that there's no, you know, Teddy hadn't had a three and out. I don't think. I mean, I think he's put together some really good stuff during preseason. And, you know, I don't want to see that momentum stopped because of a, you know, whatever the case may be. You're going out there in this last preseason game. And, you know, I think most of the guys have offensively, besides a Melvin Gordon, who hasn't played? Cortland Sutton hasn't played. And I don't think there was a question about Cortland Sutton playing or not playing. If there was, I didn't catch it. Maybe you get those two guys in there if you want to get them playing a little bit. But the rest of the guys, Chad, like, I mean, the offensive line's played a lot, right? Noah Fant's played. Judy's played. Hamler's played. Stinking Javonte Williams played. Obviously, Teddy's played a lot. Like, why do we need to see these guys anymore? What's the point?
The old school football guy in me is losing out to the new school football guy who says, you've seen these guys. What else do they need to show you going into the regular season? And for what potential cost? And again, the cost benefit ratio, the risk reward ratio for me is just off. Because again, it's not just Teddy Bridgewater. It's Garrett Bowles. It's Graham Glasgow. It's Dalton Risner. It's Javonte Williams. All these guys are key pieces that are needed for this season. And then what do you gain? What kind of insight do you need to gain? The quarterback competition is over by playing the Rams, who aren't going to play anybody and haven't played anybody all preseason long.
And Chad, the other thing here is if anybody should realize it, it is Vic, right? What did we hear last year? Oh, Broncos injuries. You know, we lost Von Miller before the season started. This guy's hurt. That guy's hurt. This guy's hurt. We just can't possibly compete, right? So it's like if anybody should know how important health is, it's Vic Fangio, right? And it is football. You got to get ready to play, but at the same time, you have to be smart about it and cautious when games don't matter, especially.
I'm pretty bummed out to read that. I have been so excited about things and feeling optimistic and positive. Now, this is the first time I think I've seen a mistake from this organization in this process, and I'm just not seeing where the wisdom is in this particular move. Playing all those guys on Saturdays just doesn't feel very smart to me at all. Coming up on the other side, Stoke and I will talk about Drew Lock learning from Teddy Bridgewater. What can he gain from this experience being named the backup?
Over a million people trust Brinks Home for smarter home security. Switch now for only $29.99 a month with a contract. Call now 833-BRINKS-4 or visit BrinksHome.com for state licensing information.
You're listening to Stokely and Zach on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
2, 1, 2, 3. Hey, weather's changing, brother. I mean, look, it was showing like 5 hours of rain, you know, from like 1 to 6, 1 to 7, you know. You had me all depressed, and now it's showing like, you know, 4 to 6.
All right, you got that's a window. It. You got a window.
Got a little window.
All right, well, good for you. Yes, that's Brandon Stokely. I am Chad Brown. This is the Stokely and Zach Show. Zach is out, and I've been riding his seat for a couple of days now, working with my man Stoke. You and I played a long time, played with veteran players, you know, took that learning process seriously. That's how you last 15 years in the NFL, by taking that learning process seriously. And now I think Drew Lock can take a step back and take his learning process seriously. And obviously, with a guy like Teddy Bridgewater, who has been in the league a long time, he has a chance to learn things from Teddy. So, Richie, let's hear it directly from Drew.
Yeah, it's not the one thing. There's a lot of great things about Teddy that I've realized since I've been here. And I think from day one, I realized that, you know, some of the people that I've learned from in this position compared to what Teddy does at this position, there's a lot of different ways to go about it. And I really like the way he goes about it as far as how he talks to the teammates, how he coaches on the field, stuff we do after practice, like the little things he likes to focus on.
I mean, bam, right there. Yep. Look, I mean, that's it. Everybody does things differently, right? And, you know, for Drew to be able to be behind a true pro, a guy that's been through it all and that's persevered. And, you know, you're talking about a guy that almost lost his leg. And he was at the height of his career at that time. Could you imagine going through that? You know, now look at him. So there's a lot to be learned from a guy like Teddy Bridgewater, and Drew's taking the right approach. And look, I really do believe that he will be better for this, and he'll learn a lot, and he'll continue to work because, you know, that's what I've always loved and appreciated about Drew Lock. He's a worker. He's a grinder. He put a lot into it this offseason to win this job, and it just didn't work out for him. But it's not game over for Drew Lock. That's the positive here, and that's the way I think he's approaching it, and certainly it seems like he has the right mindset heading into this year.
Yeah, the quarterback position is more than just, you know, the ability to throw a deep out, which we saw Drew Lock do on Saturday. That deep route to Sauber, the tight end on the sideline, was a tremendous throw. But there's more to it than that.
That's right.
You are the CEO of the organization, and your ability to deal with your teammates and how you approach people and how you coach people, that's a critically important factor in you becoming that, you know, franchise quarterback kind of guy.
How do you navigate the leadership role, right? I mean, how do you navigate that? There's a lot of different personalities, right? A lot of people from different backgrounds. All those different things. Like, how do you navigate those waters? There's something to be said about being able to do it and being able to do it as a leader and at a high level. Sorry about that, Chad.
Oh, no, it's all good. It's all good. My time in New England, I got a chance to, you know, watch Tom Brady up close. And people always push back when I say this, but he was literally the best teammate I had ever been around. Here's this guy who, you know, was already on a Hall of Fame track when I was playing with him. As soon as somebody new came in the locker room, the first person to greet him would be Tom and say, you know, it sounded ridiculous. Hey, I'm Tom Brady. If you got any questions, come ask me, man, about how we do things here or where, you know, where to find stuff or whatever the case may be. Tom would introduce himself because he understood that is my job. As the quarterback, the CEO of this team is to make sure everybody is comfortable. And the more that I do that, I can lift all these boats and be that rising tide kind of thing. And I think Drew can learn that process by watching a guy like Teddy. He also said he learned a few other things from Teddy. Here's another clip.
I know that right as you bring in a quarterback and it becomes a quarterback competition, it's whose chest is puffed out bigger and who can throw it better, who can come out here and practice. But, you know, secretly I was sitting back and learning everything I could from Teddy. And I think one of the special things he does that I've taken and I'm going to keep adding into my game is the way he communicates, the way he talks, how he operates after practice, trying to get the receivers on the same page as him. It's just something that I'd really not necessarily been exposed to or seen. It's kind of crazy to think that it's been this long. And, you know, I thought I was doing it the right way and, you know, the best way I possibly could. And then when you see a new aspect, a new outlook on it, it's like, wow, I can really take some of that and bring it into, you know, kind of what I'm doing and kind of merge the two.
It's important. It's valuable. You know, communication. How do you talk to guys? You know, having and you know, look, I don't want to say. I just say they should have put more importance on the backup quarterback last year. And I'm not saying that now. I've said this all along. Said it all along. The day they signed Jeff Driscoll last year, I said that was awful. So I'm not just jumping on the bandwagon now. I put importance on it last year, especially with Drew being a first-time starter. And now you're hearing it right now. So those things are important to learn them. And you don't learn them unless somebody teaches you or you can watch it. And Drew didn't have that. So, you know, his first year being a starter, that was, you know, not ideal for him not to have that guy, a veteran presence behind him to kind of teach him the ropes and show him how to do things. But the one thing that I learned from Peyton Manning, learned a lot from him, but communication is key, right? And being able to, like, when you watch film, some people just ignore things on film, Chad. I mean, you've been in a lot of rooms and sessions and stuff, and some people just kind of ignore it and, hey, the star player, you know, that guy, I maybe don't need to correct him on this, or you let some things go by the wayside. And the one thing that I learned from Peyton is there is no gray area here, right? There is no, like, I thought that it was supposed to be this way, you thought it was supposed to be that way. No, there was none of that. You want to know why? Because everything was communicated and talked through. And if it happened on film, it was talked about in front of everybody. Hey, right there, Stokely, you see that? You're a little bit short. You need to get 12, or I want you to get 12, and I want you to come out that break a little bit more downhill. You're drifting up a little bit. I want that angle a little bit sharper, right? Everybody hears it now. Everybody knows what's expected, right? That's how I want your route to look. Okay, so there is no gray area like, oh, well, I thought you wanted, you know, fourth down and eight. And I'm like, well, I thought you wanted it this way. No. There's no gray area. Coaches or players, right? And he set that standard. Now, obviously, he was at a whole different level, but that's when you become a really good offense. And those, I think, those are the things that Drew can also learn from Teddy about when you talk about communication. How do you talk to your receivers? What kind of things do you talk about and communicate with? And certainly, you know, that's something that sometimes you have to learn from another guy.
Yeah, I thought the concept that Brett Rypien was the consultant to Drew Locke was absurd. Now, I think Brett Rypien probably understands the offense well, sure, and can act as a little bit as a second brain, but the lack of experience there. You know, I, like you, was clamoring for them to bring in some kind of veteran quarterback, literally to be in that mentor role, that Josh McCown kind of thing. That is important. And Teddy, talking about this yesterday at the presser, illustrates that in some ways the Broncos didn't do right by him by not having some kind of true veteran experience presence in the room. Not somebody who's trying to be out there for themselves, but literally understands the role. I'm here to be the backup quarterback and to be the mentor to this guy, to teach him the things that he doesn't know. So that was a little disappointing last year. And now to hear it from Drew's mouth, it kind of doubles up on that disappointment.
Exactly. And you know, it is what it is. You know, can't go back and undo it. But I think he will learn a lot from just being behind Teddy and watching how Teddy operates.
All right, coming up next, Stoke and I will talk to Bronco insider Mike Kliss.
Klissy time!
And hear why the heck are they playing Teddy Bridgewater in this game this weekend. Coming up next.
It's Stokely and Zach on Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan.
What a better way to end this good day than talking to 9 News Bronco insider Mike Kliss. Mike, how's it going, buddy?
It's going okay. Practice is over. Just driving back to work at home along with a couple thousand of my friends out here on the highways.
Right on. This is Mike Kliss, our 9 News Bronco insider. He joins us courtesy of the Bet Rivers Sportsbook. Mike, Stoke and I spent the last segment a little upset after seeming to handle this whole quarterback competition so well. Now we're hearing that Teddy Bridgewater is going to play in the last preseason game?
I'm not convinced of that, but yes, that's what Vic Fangio was saying. I'm not convinced of it because, you know, he's done this before and then guys have not played. He really practiced hard on Tuesday and Wednesday. They were two of the longest and toughest practices of the year. Usually when you do that, it's because you're not going to play a whole lot of guys in the preseason, but he says he is. You know what, that's good for Channel 20 ratings, I suppose. Although now that I think about it, based on their reaction yesterday, everyone wants to see Drew play anyway. It seemed like the reaction to yesterday was more favorable to Drew than it was favorable to Teddy, but maybe that's what happens in a quarterback competition. There's always a backlash to whoever you pick. But, Teddy Bridgewater should play. He's played enough. He's played enough to earn the job as starter. It makes sense to have Drew Locke play the first half and Brett Rypien play the second half and see what you got. But it's a little confusing for all the coaches that play their guys because one less preseason game. And so, they're playing a team that won't play any starters for the third straight week, by the way. We'll have to figure that out, won't we, as far as how good the Broncos are?
Yeah.
Because all three preseason games will be against teams that didn't play their starters.
Yeah, Mike, I wouldn't play the offensive guys. I think Teddy's knocked it out of the park this preseason. All you can do is maybe take a step back confidence-wise and momentum-wise. So I wouldn't play really any of the guys. If you want to play Melvin a little bit to, you know, get some rust off of him, okay, one series. But I think the offense has done so well. Teddy has done so well. I would just say, all right, let's get ready for the Giants. So that's going to be interesting to see. Cortland Sutton. Is he going to play a lot? Do you think he should play? And also, Von Miller, how much are you expecting to see him?
Yeah, they're talking about those guys playing. There were four starters that didn't play last week. And that was Melvin Gordon, Cortland Sutton, Josie Jewell, Von Miller, Albert O, also the backup tight end didn't play. And it sounds like all five of those guys are going to play. Cortland, I think, wants to play to shake it off, to gain a little confidence. Albert O, probably the same. You know, we all know Melvin Gordon. I'm not sure he really believes he needs to play.
Sure.
You know, he wasn't there for the OTAs, and he's a veteran running back. I don't think he needs to play, but Fangio believes in it. And so, you know, they hired Fangio as a coach. He's big on practice. I mean, I couldn't believe how difficult the practices were this week, but he believes that practice is the best way to, you know, to enhance mental toughness over, you know, over these guys when
it's
tough and you're in a valley later in the season. You know, Bill Belichick, from what I understand, Jed, you could speak to this more, but Bill Belichick is a tough practice guy. There, you know, if he can go in pads, he's in pads. And I'm not sure about the length. Fangio believes in longer practices. I mean, Mike Shanahan, Gary Kubiak was an hour and a half and rarely pads. So this is different for us watching the Fangio practices.
Well, Mike, one more on Cortland Sutton. Has anybody asked him about his knee brace? Does he plan on wearing it all year? Why is he wearing it? Because it concerns me, you know.
I asked him.
Did you ask him, you said?
Yeah, last week I asked him about it, and he made it sound like it's so lightweight and flexible. It looks big and cumbersome.
Okay.
You know, it's a big looking brace, but he said it's so lightweight he doesn't know it's there, and he seemed to indicate that he was going to wear it. I think he'll wear it Saturday, and then you got two more weeks before the regular season opener. So I think he might make a decision there. It might depend on how he plays on Saturday.
Sure.
If he feels good out there. Yeah.
All right, Mike, are there any positions still up for grabs? We know there's a little bit of competition at that right tackle spot, and then, you know, there's some possible maneuvering that could happen at the inside linebacker spot, particularly for third down. Is we going to see a conclusion to those battles here on Saturday?
You know, at right tackle, I never, you know, Kelvin Anderson is a good swing tackle. He's athletic. Always seemed a little light to me for a right tackle. Bobby Massey has a guarantee of $1.6 million. I always thought he was going to wind up the right tackle, and he will wind up there. You know, all the backup spots, the last five, are up for grabs. The receiver position, you know, Seth Williams, Tyree Cleveland, Deontay Spencer, and Trinity Benson, they're not keeping all of those guys. You know, Trinity Benson didn't make it last year, didn't make it the last 2 years. He may make it this time. You know, Deontay Spencer, they're getting a good look at the returners in this game. Kendall Hinton, Tyree Cleveland will go back on kickoffs. So who else was he going to look at? Trinity Benson is going to get the chance at the punt returns. So this last game, I think receiver is – I put together the 53-man roster. I made a prediction. It's on 9news.com. Receiver was a tough spot. The ninth offensive lineman. I think Cam Fleming will be there, but if, you know, with Miners having some snap issues, it might be Austin Schlotman. The backup. I think the inside linebackers are set with Sternad and Browning. Who's back now, and then Alexander Johnson and Josie Jewell. It's just a matter of, as you say, Chad, does Sternad come in on third down in place of Alexander Johnson? It kind of looks like Johnson's been the one that's been coming out a little bit. So, and then, you know, the backup safety, Trey Marshall's been hurt all camp, you know, and he's been hurt pretty much the last 2 years. And so you think Caden Stearns is now hurt. P.J. Locke has got a chance. So, you know, the back five, Jonathan Cooper, I think, has to do more to make the team. has to have a good outing. Maybe he's already made it. But those are the type of guys you're looking at as far as those final spots.
Right on, Mike. We always value your detailed information. Have yourself a good rest of your day.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right. Thank you, Mike. That was Mike List, courtesy of Bet Rivers Sportsbook. And my time as the driver for this show ends. I won't be in tomorrow, traveling to my game in Nebraska versus Illinois. So thanks to Brandon Stokely. Thanks to you, Richie, for playing the hits behind the ones and twos. And all you guys bearing with me as I stumble through my first week driving. The drive will be up next.
Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 1043thefan.com.